This podcast is supported by 23andMe.co.uk, a personalised genetic service available in the UK. The 23andMe genetic analysis is based on a small saliva sample. People in the UK can learn about their genetic information that published studies associate with conditions like blood clotting, cystic fibrosis, and even response to certain medicines. More information is available at 23andme.co.uk.
If it's football talk you want, it's football talk you'll get right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with your hosts, Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Tonight, the fellas once again serve up a great guest list, making his fifth appearance. That might even be a record with us tonight. Former Jets, Bucks, and Chiefs tight end Anthony Beck. One of our original guests from way back in 2011 is back home tonight on TNT, former Bengals, Vikings, and Panthers DB, and author of a new book that we'll be talking about, Leonard Wheeler, will be here. One of our sponsors and a man doing some great things to help improve the quality of life for the alumni players, Dr. Peter Candelora, joins us. Former Colts and Dolphins Super Bowl champion, fullback Don Nottingham is also making a return visit. Former Jaguars wide receiver and former head coach at Alabama State, Reggie Barlow, stopped by. And in our weekly 12th man segment, Sports One marketing CEO David Meltzer will be joined by former Vikings safety Robert Griffith. Should be a great show. So as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show with a couple of good buddies of mine, Chris and Bob. Guys, as always, have some fun. Take it away.
Hey, thank you, Joe Lajanusa. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining us again tonight on Thursday Night Tailgate. I'm your host, Chris Mascaro, and tonight Bob and I are excited to welcome back some great guests to TNT. So like we say, relax, settle in, let us take your mind off everything else going on in your life for the next couple of hours. TNT is brought to you by former Bengals and Falcons tight end Reggie Kelly and the great folks over at Kaivin Foods. Be sure to spice up everything on your menu by adding Kaivin salsa, sauces, and spices to what you've got cooking. You can check them out online at Kaivin, and Kaivin is KYVAN82.com. So Kaivin82.com to see all of their wonderful products. TNT is also sponsored by one of our guests tonight, Dr. Peter Candelora and the great folks over at Coastal Orthopedics. If you're living with joint pain, stop. Do what the Gridiron Greats do for relief, and check out those great folks over at Coastal Orthopedics. You can find them online at bone-dr.com. Plus, check out the Louisville Slugger Museum and Factory. If you love baseball and you haven't been there yet, folks, you got to go. So many great things that you're going to discover at the Louisville Slugger Museum and Factory. First and foremost, you're going to see the actual bats that players in the major leagues are going to be using made right before your very eyes. You'll see the actual bat being made that's going to end up in the bat racks across Major League Baseball. You can find out more information about them online at sluggermuseum.com. And we also want to give a shout-out to our good friends over at the Gridiron Greats organization. They are doing wonderful things to take care of the guys who played way before there were such things as six-figure salaries or health care coverage. Find out more information and help those guys out by going to gridirongreats.org. All right, like Joe said, first up tonight in our 12th man segment, along with Sports One marketing CEO and best-selling author David Meltzer, is going to be former Vikings, Browns, and Cardinals Pro Bowl safety Robert Griffith. We'll hear what he and David are working on together here in just a few minutes. Following them is going to be a guy who is, you know, one of the best tight ends in the game for many years and is now a great broadcaster, and that's Anthony Beck. Anthony also co-hosts the Football Fan Shop on the Home Shopping Network. So We'll talk to him about that. Plus, he does a lot of analysis for ESPN and their college football broadcast. So we'll talk to Anthony about both of those things when he's here about 15 minutes from now. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by our good friend and former Bengals, Vikings, and Panthers defensive back and now author in his own right, Leonard Wheeler. Leonard has a book out now called Beyond the Locker Room. We'll talk to Leonard about that, get his thoughts about what's going on with one of his former teams. Leonard's still up in the Charlotte area, so I'd love to get his thoughts on the Panthers. Leonard will be here about 30 minutes from now. Later this hour, we'll be joined by, like I say, one of our sponsors, a guy doing some great things for the health and well-being of the veteran players, and that's Dr. Peter Candelora of Coastal Orthopedics. He'll be here. We'll talk about an exciting new procedure he's doing with stem cells that's helping people heal more quickly. We look forward to hearing about that and so much more when Dr. Candelora joins us about 50 minutes from now. Then we'll kick off the next hour with one of the great running backs and fullbacks of all time, really, and that's former Colts and Dolphins running back Don Nottingham. Don was a part of the Dolphins' 1973 Super Bowl championship team, and he took over the starting running back job after Larry Zonka left for the World Football League. We'll talk to Don about his time with the Colts and Dolphins, plus his thoughts on what the Dolphins need to do this offseason to become a playoff contender next season. Don will be here, like I say, just over an hour from now. And then we're going to wrap up the show with former Jaguars wide receiver and Alabama State head coach Reggie Barlow. Reggie was let go by Alabama State following a 7-6 season this past year, a few weeks after they had actually given him a contract extension and a raise. They turned around and hired Brian Jenkins, who was formerly of Bethune-Cookman, who is now under NCAA investigation for potential football violations. This whole thing is absolutely crazy to me, and we're going to get Reggie's take on it when he's here about 90 minutes from now. So, folks, we are wall-to-wall with great guests for you tonight on Thursday Night Tailgate, just like we are every single week. And we can't thank you enough for being here to take the journey with us over the next couple of hours. But before we get started, let's bring in my co-host, Mr. Bob Lazzari. Bob, how you doing tonight, my friend?
How's everything with you, Chris?
Not bad. I tell you what, Bob, you know, this whole thing with Reggie Barlow, and to be honest with you, I didn't know all the details until I read about it in your column. So this piece with what has happened to Reggie just absolutely blows my mind for what they did and how Alabama State handled the whole situation. But kudos for you for writing the story about it.
Well, I thought it had to be mentioned, Chris, because we know what kind of man Reggie is, and to be treated like that. He had a contract, and then I just got to get more information from him, because to go out and get a coach with a questionable past, to be able to do what Alabama State did there was just, it didn't seem right to me, and it just goes back to the NCAA and its kind of its villainous type nature these days. But we'll get more information from him. It just smells dirty, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely right. All right, folks, we want to kick off the show like we do every week by saluting our brave men and women serving in the military and everyone listening in on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We want to pass on our sincere thanks to all of our veterans and everyone currently serving in every branch of the military and public service. Thank you. Thank you for the sacrifices that you are willing to make, you know, every day for us now, or from our veterans, you know, the sacrifices that you made for every one of us. We appreciate what you do or what you did to protect the freedoms that we all have and the liberty which allows the rest of us to do what we do. Our sincere thanks as well to Sean Cruz and all the wonderful folks over at the Armed Forces Radio Network. It's an honor for us to have our show on your network. You can find us by going to armedforcesradionetwork.org. And also give those guys a follow on Twitter. That's important to them too. You can find them at the AFRN for the Armed Forces Radio Network. I also want to remind everyone that you can stream or download our show for free from our site, ThursdayNightTailgate.com. Plus, our friends over at Boost Radio are streaming our show every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to BoostRadioNetwork.com and then click on the on-air link you're going to find in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage to hear us. You can also find us across the Internet on wonderful sites like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and iTunes. And you can take us with you everywhere you go on your mobile device by downloading the Stitcher or the Player.fm app as well. All right, folks, let's get rolling here with a message from our friends over at Kyven Foods, brought to you by our good friend and former Bengals and Falcons tight end, Reggie Kelly.
Add great flavor to your next tailgate party with Kyven Salsas. Former NFL tight end Reggie Kelly created these salsas for dipping chips and much more. In hot and mild flavors, Kyven Salsas make a great marinade. They are terrific in meatloaf and are super toppers for everything from baked potatoes to scrambled eggs. It's a great ingredient to enjoy in a variety of family favorite meals. And some people say Kyven Salsa is a meal to itself. With all the possibilities, Kyven is truly salsa with soul. Kyven salsas are also made from natural ingredients, and they are preservative-free. So look for Kyven, that's K-Y-V-A-N, at area Walmart stores or online. Click on the Kyven logo on our website to check retail and online locations. More information at Kyven82.com.
If you want your guests to be raving about your next house party, or, hey, we got baseball starting up now, we got spring training tailgate parties, whatever it is, be sure to serve them plenty of Kyven Foods salsas, sauces, and spices to liven up everything you're going to put on your menu. Be sure to check out their recipes on our site, ThursdayNightTailgate.com, as well as their own site, Kyven82.com, and give those folks a like on Facebook. That's important as well. Kyven is K-Y-V-A-N, the number 82.com. You're going to appreciate the goodness. All right, folks, now joining us on the Kyven Foods guest line in our weekly 12th Man segment is Sports One Marketing CEO and best-selling author David Meltzer, and his special guest tonight is former Vikings, Browns, and Cardinals Pro Bowl safety Robert Griffith. David, what are you and Robert working on together?
Oh, something really exciting, Chris. Thanks for having us on. I have Robert, who's running for the executive director of the NFLPA, on a platform to empower these players to understand what their rights are, as well as maximize the opportunity of protection and monetization of their own brands and their playing potential. And it's just an honor to have Robert on to hopefully explain some of the things that he's working on and why, you know, he should be the next executive director of the NFLPA. So I want to welcome Griff onto the show and hopefully give us a little bit of background and let us know what he thinks.
Yeah, man. Dave, thanks for having me. It's good to be on. I'm a fan of the show and I enjoy everything that you guys have been doing here the last couple of years. And we're in a good time right now. This is a good time for the NFL and the players to really grow the league right now. And I think that it's on a meteoric rise. And you know, I'm just glad to be a part of having the guys endorse me to potentially be their leader.
And you'd be a great leader. You want to give a little bit of the background on some of the changes that you made. Be proposing, or some of the things you think that you can empower these players with that are a little bit different than maybe defense is doing right now to enhance the representation of all the players?
Well, you know, my main premise is for, you know, players to, you know, really lead by example. You know, I've been involved with the NFLPA for 17 years, and you know, 13 years as a player rep and executive committee members, you know, 6 years as a rep, 7 years on the executive committee, 6 years as a coach for our NFLPA collegiate game. And during my time, I've been able to see, you know, a lot of CBA extensions happen. I've seen the growth of the league went from, my rookie year was $33 million was the cap, and now it's over, you know, well over $130. And, you know, during my time here, I've been able to kind of explain to a lot of the guys coming out, the collegiates and the guys that I've been playing with, just how the process really works and really what they should be really doing with themselves and how they can grow the brand and also – you know, just to lead by example. You know, there's it's crazy. I've seen every side of this equation as a player, as a retired player, as a person involved with the EPA, and then just from an outsider looking at it now, with the domestic violence and a lot of the different things that are going on, I really believe that, you know, players are the game. You know, I'm a fan of the game, but players are the game, and they're in the spotlight. And I believe that, you know, players have a job, a real job, to lead by example. Just like they're going in to lift weights or to run, you know, leading by example means that you're out in front. You're not following the trends. You know, we can bring out a few examples. In 9/11, you know, I believe we were part of the healing of the nation when we went and played football games. When we ran out with our flags, you know, and I think we were part of the process, and we led the nation into a healing process of a tragic event. I think now, more than ever, we need to be in front of that charge, you know, to eradicate a lot of the issues that have been, you know, plagued the league, especially domestic violence as of last year. So that's the way I see the NFLPA and the players at this point.
So do you see, you know, interesting enough, I think that from my experience working for so long with current and draft players, that, you know, the majority of these players live far more ethical and they exceed the expectations of most average people, or as I joke, senators and congressmen. And it's just a few incidents of young men making mistakes as they do. And I'm not defending the mistakes that they make, but just statistically, there's going to be mistakes made by young men who have more money than less money. But do you feel that the bigger issue than the mistakes that are being made may be the player apathy, and that they just don't understand their responsibility that's given them with the blessings that they've been enriched with?
Yes, and you know, but it's funny that you say that. I think that, yes, we're dealing with you know, younger men. We're dealing with men that are afforded a lot of things that a lot of folks don't get, you know, whether it's resources, access, you know, the spotlight. You know, last year the Super Bowl was watched by, you know, 114 and some change million people. And, you know, that is by far the largest viewership of any one show in the history of Earth. And I think that the players grasp that, but I don't think that they understand that that is exactly what we need to be doing as players, is using that audience in building our brands and their personal brands around that. And to do that, you know, we have to lead by example. There has to be the forefront of proactive thinking, you know, thinking about how we handle different issues and not just gloss over them. And I think that's essential for today's player, because there's a lot at stake. There's a lot of money. There's a ton of access, and it's an opportunity for players to make themselves lifetime valuable. And that's really what the NFLPA should be doing.
No doubt. Those individual brands only enhance the overall brand of the Shield. And there's so many people and so many interests involved that I think the NBA has done a great job of showing how individual talent and highlighting individual talent and brands can enhance the NBA as a whole. I think the NFL should embrace that as well and allow for abundance for each of these players to exceed their earning potential for not only their playing days, but far beyond, by building these brands, which not only help them personally, but most of them, with their attitudes and their integrity, utilize the majority of their time when they're done playing to give back to the community. And that would only enhance the Shield, as well as those individual brands, to monetize those brands for themselves and for the betterment of everyone. So, you know, I think that's a really impressive platform. Chris, do you have any questions or want to ask Chris anything?
Yeah, just, you know, one question, Robert, before we let you go. I got to ask you, one of our guests a little later tonight is our good friend Leonard Wheeler, and you guys played together for one season up in Minnesota back in 1997. What do you remember about playing with Leonard?
Oh, man, you talking about Wheels, number 37. I love Leonard Wheeler. What a great guy, great heart. When he came to the Vikings, I just remember him changing the culture of our defensive backfield. He was the most fair and equitable guy. He did a lot of the dirty work, did a lot of the corners would not do. You know, him and Corey Fuller were our guys that would get dirty with you. And he was a great special teams player as well. But more importantly, man, he was a guy that always showed up. He always opened up his house to other players for dinner with their families. He's a very spiritual man, and you know he put a big umbrella over us. Every time we went to a game, it was Leonard praying for us, praying for our health, and I think nothing but the world of Leonard. And he's a strong advocate of doing exactly what I believe the NFL needs to do. And this is, you know, I go back to, you know, leading by example, and you know, he's one of those guys that is a four player guy. You know, he's a four players by players type of guy. He wants to make sure that we are taking care of our own house, and he's doing a great job at helping out in that way as a retired player.
Absolutely right. Well, yeah. David, thank you so much for bringing Robert to the show. Robert, we hope you'll come back sometime and do a segment with us. We'd love to have you talk about your career and all the great things that you're doing now, you know, beyond playing on the field. We'd love to have you, you know, share those stories. In the meantime, David, thank you for all you do and for, you know, continuing to be a part of the show. Your book, Connected to Goodness,
yeah,
is flying off the shelves at Amazon.com. Before we let you go, do you have a book signing or something else coming up that we need to let our listeners know about?
Yeah, we do. You know, I'm inviting you guys out. We're going to be broadcasting a special broadcast at the Unstoppable Gala on March 23rd in L.A., and Warren's being honored, as you know, as the Humanitarian of the Year. And we'd love all the listeners to go to warrenmoonchallenge.com, and we're building villages in Africa to educate every kid in the world, let alone in America. And that's warrenmoonchallenge.com. Everybody can support what Warren's doing, and by you can't afford to give something and give back or pay it forward to someone that you can by doing a good deed or an act of kindness. So we appreciate you, Chris. We appreciate the show, the segment, and especially I appreciate my special guest, Robert, and wish him the best of luck in his journey.
I appreciate it. And I can just ask, you know, it's good to be a part of your company as well, Dave. I know, you know, we have a joint venture to help brand, you know, four players and by players.
Yep.
Our joint venture with several events that we're going to put on to brand players and giving them the opportunity to monetize their brands. And, you know, Warren is he's like a big brother to me. And so I wanted to give a shout out to Warren as well. You know, this is part of what we do. And this is making, you know, Warren is a lifetime valuable player. And, you know, this is what we want to get the other players that are playing in the NFL currently to that stage. Not everybody's going to be a Hall of Fame player like Warren, but, you know, they have an opportunity to monetize and brand themselves. And I'm just tickled pink by having an opportunity to brand my company with yours, David, and allow these guys to have an opportunity. So I want to thank you again for having me on, and Dave, thanks for allowing us to breathe this life into the NFL.
Thank you. All righty.
All right, great stuff. Thanks, David. We'll catch up with you again next week. Robert, thank you for being on the show. All the best to you, and like I say, we hope you'll come back and join us sometime because we'd love to spend some more time with you.
It'd be a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, guys.
All right, good night, fellas. We'll catch up soon.
All right, take care.
Fantastic stuff, Bob, from Robert Griffith and David Meltzer. His book, again, Connected to Goodness, Manifest Everything You Desire in Business and in Life. It's a wonderful book. We highly recommend it. Like I say, you can find it on Amazon.com or going directly to connectedtogoodness.com. We're going to get to our next guest, Anthony Becht, who's been patient hanging on the other line. We'll get to him right on the other side of this station identification.
This is Reggie Kelly, former Cincinnati Bengals and Atlanta Falcons tight end, and you're listening to TNT, Thursday night tailgate. Brace yourself for the explosion.
All right, now back with us on the Kyven Foods guest line, making his fifth appearance with us on the show is Anthony Becht. And let me remind you about Anthony's background. He was born in Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philly. He was a first-round draft pick, the 25th selection overall by the New York Jets in 2000 out of the University of West Virginia. Played tight end in the NFL from 2000 to 2011 for the Jets, Bucks, Cardinals, Rams, and Chiefs. And over the course of his career, he had 188 receptions for over 1,500 yards and scored 21 touchdowns. You can now hear Anthony, among other places, co-hosting the Bucks pre- and post-game show on AM 620 WDAE down in Tampa, plus co-hosting the Football Fan Shop on the Home Shopping Network. And we're excited to have him back with us tonight on Thursday Night Tailgate. Anthony, Chris, and Bob, how have you been, my friend?
I've been outstanding. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. So, Anthony, I got to tell you,
Saturday Night
Live. Is that right?
It feels like Saturday Night Live. You know, Alec Baldwin being on, you know, 5, 6, 7 times. I'm honored.
Absolutely. So, Anthony, I got to tell you, one of my secret shames is I love watching you on HSN. You do such a great job on what I imagine has to be a tough gig on live TV like that. How'd you land on HSN, and how hard is it? You know, is it harder than I think it should be, or is it not quite as bad because you do such a smooth, great job talking to people on there?
But I think it's hard. I think if you're just starting in and just trying to break through, obviously I got some practice and, you know, joining with ESPN 2 years ago doing college football kind of got me into other opportunities and opened up a window there. And, you know, I live down here in Tampa, and, you know, Clearwater is where the Home Shopping Network campus is. And I had bumped into one of the CFOs of HSN and got me a audition because I had told my, you know, I was up late one night. I was watching it 3 a.m. and I had seen the show, and they had one of the co-hosts was like an announcer from Orlando that does sports in the city there. And I was like, man, wouldn't this be great if they had a football player that could go on there that played in the league and talk a little football and, you know, maybe hustle some of the gear that they have. And I went for an audition. You know, I'm from Philly, so I got a little bit of that hustle blood in me, and I was able to, of course, talk football, which was great. And, you know, they really enjoyed me, and I did well. And, you know, it's been 3 years now that I've been teamed up on the Home Shopping Network, and it's been a really nice, diverse opportunity for me to really hit another bit of the fan base and also, you know, work on that live 1 hour straight, no break type of, you know, really talking into the camera and working with it. So it's been fun.
So how many of your buddies or your family members are hitting you up saying, you know, hey, Anthony, can you give me one of those Jets fleece blankets?
I'll tell you, I get more text messages. And I'll tell you, the funny thing is some of my buddies, they kind of like to bust my chops when they see me on there. But they always laugh and they say, you know what, I turn it on, I laugh, but I can't turn it off because you almost persuade me to go buy something every time I watch a show. So I kind of get a chuckle out of it. But it is fun. It's a different type of TV, and I've enjoyed doing it.
From a marketing perspective, you know, we hear, you know, so many, you know, conversations about which teams are the most popular, you know, and that sort of thing. But you're sort of right in the middle of hard sales, to your point, you know, pitching some of the products that they have and whatnot. Do you get to see who really are some of the, or the, I guess, are the top, you know, teams, most popular, if you will?
Well, the Steelers, the Packers, and the Cowboys.
There you go.
They always get the extra inventory. America's teams kind of universally sound across the country. And then the big cities, you know, and every NFL team's in a big city. But the New Yorks, the Miamis, the San Franciscos, the Seattles now have become a popular item. So those are the teams that are really jump off. You know, but I'll tell you, we get a lot of fans from all the teams that call in. You'd be surprised. You know, Tennessee becomes popular, Kansas City. So a lot of folks watching TV late at night. I know that.
Bob, questions for Anthony?
Anthony, it's great to speak with you again. I was looking at some of your old stat pages today and Pro Football Reference, and I came across your high school, Anthony, Monsignor Bonner. And
yes.
I found out, I didn't know that both John Cappelletti – and Al Atkinson had gone there. Cappelletti, one of the better players I saw as a young kid in college, obviously.
Yeah.
And Atkinson, I actually met at a church sports night. My goodness, had to be in the late 60s in Southern Connecticut. But I'm just wondering if you ever had contact with alumni like that.
You know what? I'd say I never met either of those gentlemen. Would have been an honor to do so. You know, I want to say Cappelletti's out west, so I never really got to connect with him as far as, you know, me being in town for an event or he was in for the same time. I know he's been back to Philly several times and done some things. I just haven't been able to time that up. But, you know, a lot of great history. Obviously, you get a Heisman Trophy winner to come out of your high school. That's pretty impressive stuff. So I was just honored to kind of have my jersey and accolades next to those great players that went on and played and had successful NFL careers.
And while I was looking at your stats, Anthony, your rookie season in New York, we talked about it the last time about, you know, being a first-round draft pick in a big city like that. And I did a little more looking into that team in 2000, and I couldn't believe how talented that coaching staff was. You had Todd Bowles, who's now a head coach.
Yep.
You had Todd Haley, Wisenhunt, Mike Nolan, Dan Henning, and none of them were the head coach, who was Al Groh at the time. But how impressed were you, now that you look back, on what kind of coaching talent that team had?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, you talk about guys that were trying to find their ways and obviously excelled. I mean, you know, Wisenhunt becoming a head coach, Todd Haley becoming a head coach. You know, Dan Henning is unprecedented, you know, and then the GM was Parcells. So it was a crowd full of, you know, very talented up-and-coming coaches and active at that time had already, you know, peaked out. And, you know, it was a different time, you know, it was a different style. It was a different way of, you know, attacking young players and draft picks and, you know, different types of pressures. Maybe that's changed, you know, over the course of time when I actually finished up in 2011. But, you know, I thought they brought a lot of knowledge and a lot of, you know, desire into the game. And they really did coach us up and prepare us. And that was the best of the coaching was phenomenal at every position.
Anthony, two of the teams that you spent most of your time with, the Jets and the Bucks, both have big question marks going into next season at quarterback. The Bucks obviously have the number one pick. Jets sit at number six. If you're the Bucks GM, are you all in on Jameis Winston?
Well, you know, I think just from a football standpoint, I think you are. You know, there's obviously outside things that you have to, you know, put your time and put your work in and put your detective hat on and make sure you've got everything covered on that end of it before you make that final decision. But, you know, if I'm building my team now in the NFL and I look at Mariota, who really had a phenomenal career, especially his last year. But, you know, Jameis just brings a little more of the now, the preparation as far as the – I guess everybody says he's pro-ready. Now, both of these guys are pro-ready. There's no question about it. But, you know, Winston's kind of been around that type of style there since he's been in Florida State. You know, we can't be naive at the fact that Mariota, it's going to take some time to get him up to speed on, you know, how it works, how those systems fly. And, you know, it's just a different type of style. Now, if he goes to the Philadelphia Eagles and they pull off some type of trade and they get up there and able to take him, well, now, you know, he might have the advantage over Jameis as far as coming in and making that big leap, that big step. But, you know, if I had to pick right now a guy, there's no question that Jameis would be my quarterback with the number one pick.
So the Bucs are coming off a 2-14 season, but one of the bright spots had to be Mike Evans, who they drafted in the first round last year with the number 7 overall pick. How impressed were you with this kid? And, you know, almost 1,100 yards receiving, 12 touchdowns. He seems like a dynamic player, maybe something that, you know, gives a Jameis Winston or a Mariota, if they happen to go that direction, a wonderful target and a couple of great guys that, you know, from an athletic standpoint that they can build off and really turn this program around.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, he was as close to the sure thing at that pick as they've had there, and I'm glad they took him. I think it was a no-brainer. I thought he obviously was the piece of Johnny Manziel that made him such a good and talented quarterback in college. You know, Mike Evans, high points to bell, the ball, very good. You know, he's competitive. He blocks. He's obviously got that reach and stride, and he's got deceptive speed. I mean, he can run by you if you're not on your P's and Q's, and he'll go make that big play down the field, and he'll work the middle of the field. So he brings everything to the table. He wants to be great. He's got that drive and competitive nature when he plays the football game. And you're right, he is a weapon. You got another tall guy, 6'5", Vincent Jackson, who still has a lot of football left in him, and a tight end that you drafted in the second round, and also Safarian Jenkins, that if he continues to build his skill set, you're talking about three guys that can really make a quarterback better, or at least when he comes in, if you're using a rookie, can give him a jump start into his professional career.
Anthony, one more before we let you go. You do a wonderful football camp every year down in Land O'Lakes, Florida, just outside of Tampa. This is a special year. It's going to mark your 10th anniversary of doing the camp. Talk about it and some of the pros that you're going to have there and what you guys do and what you teach the kids.
Well, you know, yeah, I started doing camps in 2006, obviously my hometown in Philadelphia and here in Tampa where I make my home now. It's really been phenomenal. You know, 10 years we've been doing these, over 75 NFL players have come in to these towns that I've had the camps and played with the kids, taught the kids, talked to the kids and really worked with them and had hands-on experiences that these kids will never forget. Over 1,000 kids have been helped over the years through the camps, and I've been so proud of them. And, you know, it's been really great. It's always justifying, you know, when I see graduating seniors, you know, that I work with when they were in fourth grade or fifth grade and how they developed themselves and, you know, said, oh, you know, I got everything from my camp and the motivation to go continue their career and play and really develop not only as a player, but as a person. And that's really gratifying. And, you know, we're doing it again this year.
Yeah.
To be bigger and better. We're looking to bring in some great talent. I'm lining up now. Obviously, we're going to have some special guys come in for the 10-year anniversary. And we always get the top Buccaneers to come out. So hopefully we get the top draft pick. I can finagle my way to getting, if it's that quarterback, one of those quarterbacks to come in and work with the kids. But you know, you can jump right on the website at AnthonyBeckFootballCamp.com. Check out all the great players and everything we offer and really just kind of see what we've done over the last 10 years.
That's awesome. Anthony, it's always a privilege for us to have you as part of the show. Remind our listeners how they can follow you over social media as well.
Yeah, very active on Twitter. I love connecting with every fan, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I think it's always great to have that conversation. I'm all for it. It's Anthony_Beck, B-E-C-H-T. If you're interested in the camp, like I said, Anthony Beck, B-E-C-H-T, footballcamp.com. You know, I love having that conversation on social media about football or just about anything, guys. I know you guys follow me once around. I appreciate the plugs, you guys, almost on a daily basis, but I know weekly for sure that you always plug and put my Twitter out there, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely. We can't thank you enough, Anthony, for being such a great guest on the show. You're fantastic. We hope you'll come back soon, share more of your insights. Got so many other things. We'd love to have more time to get back in touch with you to talk about more stuff that's going on around the league. But thank you for being here tonight.
You got it, guys. I can't wait for number 6 for sure.
All right. Take care, Anthony. All the best to you and your family.
Good luck. Thank you, Anthony.
You got it. See ya.
Good night. Great stuff, Bob, and so many things to talk to Anthony about. You know, holy cow, everything that's going on with the Bucs and, you know, his alma mater, West Virginia. I look forward to, you know, obviously the next time, but great guy and always a lot of fun.
He is, Chris, and again, I remember very well when he was drafted by the Jets. It was big news in 2000, a first-round draft pick up here, of course, is huge news, but he went on to a very good career and got to play with the great Curtis Martin, and maybe we could speak with him about that relationship next time. But Anthony's top shelf, great guy.
Absolutely right. All right, we've got our next guest, Leonard Wheeler, hanging on the line. We're going to get to him on the other side of this station identification.
This is Christine Lisi, and you're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate, where NFL stars go to tell their stories with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Now back with us on the Kyven Foods guest line is our longtime friend Leonard Wheeler. Leonard was literally guest number 14 on this show back in December of 2011. We've had so much fun every time Leonard has been on the show. Let me remind you a little bit about his background before we get to him. He was born in Toccoa, Georgia, which is about 90 miles northeast of Atlanta. Played his college ball at Troy University. He was a third-round draft pick by the Cincinnati Bengals in 1992. Played in the NFL from 92 to 99 with the Bengals, Vikings, and Panthers. After he retired, he served as president of the Charlotte Retired Players Chapter of the NFL Players Association. He was also on the former Players Board of Directors for the NFLPA. He is a national speaker for NFL Play 60. He leads his own company, Wheeler Enterprises. He recently published a great book called Beyond the Locker Room, Developing Your Game Plan for Life Transitions. And we are thrilled to have him back with us tonight on Thursday Night Tailgate. Leonard, it's game time, my friend. How have you been?
Awesome, man. How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Anytime, Leonard.
So, Leonard, let's start by talking about your book. It's a great read. It's available on Amazon.com. Talk about, you know, the book and what inspired you originally to write it.
Well, really what inspired me, man, is that just the transition of life, right? The transition of life sometimes brings a lot of difficulties, brings a lot of rewards. And one of the things that probably really inspired me was when I left the game in 99-2000, it was really a difficult transition for me, you know, because I was an entrepreneur mindset, and I started my first company in 1992, and I thought that, okay, I have a degree, I have an idea of what I want to do, but let me tell you, when that reality is put on you all of a sudden, you freeze, and you go, oh, my God, this is real. Like, this is real life now. The fans are going to stop. The people are going to stop inviting you to the parties. You know, everybody's going to stop asking you for the jerseys and for game tickets. And you start to realize that all of a sudden, I'm in the real world. This is not a dream anymore. Like, I'm out of the game. And so seeing my own transition, talking to some of my friends, seeing their transitions, and just talking to people in general about transitioning in life from work, or if it's a stay-at-home mom that's going back to work, or if it's kids coming out of high school or going into college. But giving up something is almost like a death. And I wanted to make sure that I captured that in a book format so that I can give people not just life lessons, but something that's applicable that they can implement in their everyday life.
So as I opened the book and started looking through, you know, what all the different chapters were, chapter 3 captured my attention immediately, and it's titled Teenagers Listen Up, and I'm the father of 3. In that chapter, you talk about the importance of finishing. Talk about your advice on that.
Well, you know, I have a daughter that's going into college this year. She's a 17-year-old senior, and she's going into college, and one of the things that I tell her all the time, I say, Lindsay, baby, look, it's going to get difficult at times. She's a track runner. So a lot of times, you know, it's easy to it's easy to start something. It's easy to start a business. It's easy to start working out. But how often do we see people not finish? You know, and let me tell you, that's a pet peeve for me. So when I see people give up, it really, really does turn my stomach, because I always tell them that, man, just one more step and you could have finished. And not only that, that's going to give you your momentum to come back the next time and finish even stronger.
Early in the book, you relay a story about a player you met who was coming to the end of his career but still holding out, you know, for the hope that the phone was going to ring, and on the other end of the phone, it would be his agent telling him, you know, to get on a plane, you know, so-and-so team wants you to come work out. Talk about some of the stories you heard while putting this book together regarding the difficulty. And as you've mentioned throughout this, Leonard, you know, you're suddenly retired, and sometimes players don't know that they're actually retired.
Well, I think that, you know, it is just like the reality of anything that happens in our life, right? If someone comes down and they're sick with a really strict illness, etc. You know, sometimes we don't believe that it can actually happen to us. I remember laying on the football field
1999, looking up at 60,000 fans with a blown out ACL. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, did I really just blow out my ACL? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, and then these players are coming to carry me off the field. I'm like, dude, they're carrying me off the field. Are you kidding me? And so many times, we don't really believe that it can happen to us until it does. And then all
right.
of a sudden, we don't have a game plan for what's next. What I want to do is I want to make sure that I contribute in helping to give a game plan to what's next in these players' lives.
That's great stuff. Bob, questions for Leonard?
And Leonard, it's always a pleasure. And, you know, I think we alluded to it already, Leonard, about college. And to me, Leonard, it seems like many of these top college players have dollar signs in their eyes, and for good reason. Mm-hmm. If successful and if they play a few years in the league, they'll make enough money to get by, obviously. But what would you tell somebody, Leonard, a very good player in college, maybe plays 2 years and says to yourself or whoever would listen, don't really need a degree. I'm going to make all my money in the NFL.
Well, you know what? At the Combine this year, we had a great opportunity with the Legends community to really mentor these players. You know, we had some great legends like Will Shield and Rocket Ishmael, all these players, Jay Novacek, Donovan Darius. These guys were able to speak life into these players. And I call it expectation management. I think that if a person creates expectation management, they will always try to apply something that's going to help them to excel after something is over. I tell the guys that your education is never game plan number two. Your education is the game plan, period. And we just so happen to be able to play a sport that we get compensated a lot of money for, but our number one game plan is getting an education. So what I tell guys, my nephews, my nieces, all of them, my any friends, peers that I have or that I know, I tell them, look, if you go to school, I know you're a great athlete, but these parents are telling these kids now, you have better get an education because they know that the careers are short. Regardless if it's a football player, baseball player, or basketball player, careers are short right now because people are coming out, they're bigger, stronger, faster, and you never know when you might become expendable. And what I tell people is that you're expendable before you got there. So as long as you're going in with the right mindset, then you'll allow yourself to be successful after the game.
And Leonard, you've done so much motivational speaking and talked to so many people, and obviously you're going to get a lot of great feedback from this book. And when that happens, and I'm sure it happens often from adults and from kids, does that good feedback trump anything that you've ever done on the gridiron?
You know what? It truly does, because at the end of the day, guys, just like what you're doing with this show, right? This show allows people to have a platform so that they can share their experiences in life. Like, that is what you provide to us. You give us a way so that when we have something like this book, like Beyond the Locker Room or, you know, the players that you had on before me, that they can shine their football camps, that they can talk about their experiences, but that they can continue to celebrate themselves and feel a sense of significance and a sense of value. And at the end of the day, let me tell you, this book is amazing to me. My daughter, she wrote most of chapter 3, you know, Teenagers Listen Up. And that's inspiring to me because I'm going, man, we have a chance to change a generation, to create a new culture, and to make sure that we continue to leave our thumbprint on something with significance. That's pretty outstanding.
Yeah, it is. Leonard, you wrote about your own transition and how it came abruptly, to your point you made a moment ago, laying there on the ground with a blown-out ACL. And you said it came as an emotional shock to not only you but everyone in your household. You talk about how you had all the tools necessary to make a smooth transition, right? You had the education, you had the support system, you had the resources, plus a strong faith, yet you still felt paralyzed when it happened. Why?
Let me tell you, I love the Lord. Like, I mean, I love the Lord. And, you know, it was funny. I was reading a Facebook message earlier, and someone posted that the Lord will never put on you more than you can bear. And I love when he talks about that, because let me just tell you, we don't know how much we can bear until we're bearing it. I mean, we really don't. And let me tell you, I have a great family, and it was hard. It was hard for them because they weren't used to seeing me home either. So all of a sudden, here's this guy that's been gone on the weekends, and on the weekends now I'm going, what's up? What's up, guys? You guys good? All right, so what are we doing today? They're looking like, dude, you need to go to the movie or something. You need to go work out. I mean, so all of a sudden now everybody's thrown into disarray because now you've changed the game. Like, all of a sudden you've called an audible that wasn't called, and you're at home, and you're looking at everybody, and people are looking back at you, and you're going, yeah, it's me, you know, I'm done. And now you have to find what that next chapter is in your life. And, man, let me tell you, it's a journey. It's a great journey, but nevertheless, it's a journey that everyone will pursue.
Bob Moore for Leonard.
Yeah, Leonard, I have to, and Chris and I have talked about it before, about your fitness exploits, how you're able to still keep in incredible shape. And we know a lot of NFL players, Leonard, ex-NFL players, aren't in a position to do that physically. How blessed do you consider yourself, and is that just part of your lifestyle over the past 20 years?
Let me just tell you, I know that when I come on this show that you guys just might ask me that question, so I make sure that I'm doing push-ups and squats every single day. Simply,
I know you
do. Make sure I'm prepared for this day. But you know what? Like, it's a part of my life. And I have a 17-year-old daughter that runs track, and she loves to work out. And I have to make sure that I'm not embarrassing myself, even though sometimes she might make me pull a hamstring or a quad muscle. I have to make sure that I'm staying in shape because, let me tell you, we are dying. I see my friends. Look at Anthony Mason. You look at some of these players that are in their 40s and 30s. They're leaving us, guys. And what we have to do, if we're not taking it serious, that we have to be in shape, that we have to eat right, that we have to get our butts off the couch, and we have to run, and there's no excuse. I don't care how long you played in the NFL and if you don't want to train anymore. At some point, you will have to train again. So why not go ahead, take the initiative, and get it done now instead of having to later because of health issues?
Leonard, before we let you go, and we got to get on the field a little bit here. You played, like I said at the beginning, you played defensive back in the league for several years. Your last couple with the Carolina Panthers, they've got a wonderful young wide receiver, Kelvin Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's 6'5". You know,
yeah.
He. How do you, as a defensive back, you know, you're 5 inches shorter. He outweighed you by 50 pounds.
Hey, nobody's.
How do you defend
you
that guy?
Nobody's asking you to throw out height differences right now. Okay, you didn't have to just slash your brother by 5 inches, but you know what I mean. But really, if you think about these receivers that are coming into the league today, if you think about, you know, Randy Mosses and the Chris Carters, and Chris Collinsworth, those guys were tall receivers then. Now what's happening is these guys are coming in even a little bit taller, more physical, and faster. But one thing that I would have to challenge them with today than those guys had then, their mental capacity to sustain a certain level of excellence was amazing back then. If you look at those receivers like Jerry Rice, Steve Largent, they sustained such a high level of excellence. Michael Irvin's, like, they were so competitive that they didn't want to leave the field ever. Like,
right.
I mean, and so these players today, I mean, I love them. I mean, I love the talent that they bring. I'm just giving a little bit, you know, a little discrepancies between the talent I think now and the talent then with those other receivers. But Kevin Benjamin is a specimen. And if you look at him and Cam together, you're going, really? These are two statues.
Right.
crazy.
So
crazy.
Leonard, before we let you go, talk about what's going on over at Wheeler Enterprises and how our listeners can follow you there online and over social media.
Well, social media, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm at Leonard Wheeler 7, at Leonard Wheeler 7. And, you know, Facebook is just Leonard Wheeler. And, you know, what's happening with me, man, I am having a ball. I mean, my clients are absolutely amazing, working with the NFL legends. And I would love if any former players or players are listening right now, if you go to NFL.com/legends, and you can go ahead and sign up for the Legends community today. But let me tell you, man, I am so blessed with where I am in life. If I was even more blessed, it would need to be two of me. I'm not kidding. Like, it's amazing. But we're doing some great things. We're reaching out to companies. I love, if you have a company out there and you want me to come in and do a workshop, I can do a full day, half day, 2 day, 3 day. And I love doing what I do. I'm a component for change. I love creating change in people, and I love helping companies excel.
The book is called Beyond the Locker Room, Developing Your Game Plan for Life's Transitions by our wonderful friend Leonard Wheeler. Leonard, thanks for coming back on Thursday Night Tailgate tonight. We wish you so much success with the book and everything you do. We can't thank you enough for the friendship that we've developed over the last few years. And like I said, going all the way back, guest number 14, here we are 3.5 years later. You're still back with us.
Yes.
And
love
we
it.
Can't thank you enough for being a part of it.
Guys, I have to give you guys a shout-out. These guys are so amazing, man. You guys' spirits are amazing. The way you reach out to players just continues to overwhelm me. The love and the passion that you have and the compassion that you show us. Man, we are so grateful for everything that you do. Keep doing what you do. If I can ever support you, I'm there.
Oh, thank you for that very much. All right, Leonard. Hopefully we'll come back again real soon, and we'll talk about raging success your book is, maybe your bestseller, and get an update on all the other things you're doing. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a good night.
To your family.
Have a great night, Leonard. All the best to you and your family.
Bye-bye.
It doesn't get better than Leonard Wheeler, Bob.
Hey, every time we have him on, Chris, you come out of it feeling so uplifted, and was a very good player, and what he does off the field is too numerous to mention here. But you heard what he pretty much his life work is right now. It's uplifting others in his businesses, and we hardly got to his on the field stuff, but play with some great players and continues to do great things off the field. We love the guy, man. He's top shelf.
Absolutely right. Couldn't have said it better. Absolutely. All right, we've got our next guest, Dr. Peter Candelora, hanging on the line. We're going to get to him right on the other side of this word from our friends over at Kyven Foods and Coastal Orthopedics.
This is Reggie Kelly, former Cincinnati Bengals and Atlanta Falcon tight end, and I'm the owner of Kyven Foods. And if you enjoy delicious food, you're going to love my Kyven products, which consists of our honey apple salsa, sweet barbecue sauce, and an array of seasonings. For store locations, online orders, and recipes, check out our website at www.kyven82.com. That's KYVAN82.com. One taste, and you'll appreciate the goodness.
Are you suffering from chronic pain in your shoulders, hips, knees, or wrists? Tired of living life with an old injury that just won't go away? If you answered yes to either of these questions, we can help. At Coastal Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, Dr. Candelora and his fine staff of medical professionals will get you back on the road to recovery. Their state-of-the-art facility and attention to detail will ensure you will be enjoying life again and feeling invincible in no time. Since 1991, Dr. Candelora and Coastal Orthopedics have been specializing in joint replacement, arthritis, and osteoporosis care, as well as pediatric and adult general orthopedics. Visit us on the web, www.bone-dr.com, or call our Newport Richey office just north of Tampa at 727-848-1417. Proud sponsors of Mike Ditka's The Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund.
Hey, welcome back. This is Todd Washington, two-time Super Bowl champ, offensive line coach for the Baltimore Ravens, and you are listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with my boys Chris Moscato and Bob Lazzari on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Go get them, guys.
Now joining us on the Kyven Foods guest line is not only one of our wonderful sponsors, but also a guy doing some great things to help improve the quality of life for the alumni, players, and people everywhere who are dealing with joint pain, and that's Dr. Peter Candelora. Dr. Candelora, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for joining us tonight on Thursday Night Tailgate.
Oh, thanks for the invite. I greatly appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
So, first of all, Dr. Candelora, let's talk about your practice, Coastal Orthopedics, and the services you provide to both athletes and the general public. What are some of the things that you guys are able to do to help people kind of feel better and get back in the game of life?
Well, we've been doing a lot of reconstruction work, total joints and reconstructions of hips and knees. We do a lot of sports medicine. We do a lot of the arthroscopic surgeries, rotator cuff repairs, shoulder replacements also. With our work with the Gridiron Greats, we've actually been able to expand that, and it's great to help these guys and see these retired guys. Unfortunately, they're sometimes in really bad shape. But we've been able to sort of expand what we do. We've got some new techniques, some regenerative processes. We're doing some stem cell surgeries. We're doing traditional reconstruction with total joints. But we're adding a new flair to an old trick. And total joints have been around for a long time. We're doing some work with computers. And we're putting in what's called navigated or computerized joints and making them more accurate and getting alignments better. So it's an interesting time to be in medicine and to help these guys out.
Well, you mentioned computerized joints. What are computerized joints?
Well, there's a couple different types. One is where there's a machine that actually sort of knows where I am in the room, and it knows where your knee is in the room, and we can sort of see. We have to cut the bone out to sort of put in a new joint. We can actually see what we're going to cut before we do it. We can actually see what the bad alignment is when we start, and we can actually see what it is when we're done. We can actually measure it. And so that's one technique. There's another technique where they actually have a robot that actually computerizes your knee or your hip, and it programs where you're going to cut. So there are some new and interesting innovations out there that are going to revolutionize an old trick.
Wow. One of the other new procedures you mentioned a moment ago, Dr. Candelora, stem cell treatments. Talk about what stem cells are, plus how you're using them to benefit your patients.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about stem cells, and they've been around for a long time, but it's sort of a cell that doesn't know what it wants to be when it grows up. So you sort of take one of those cells in a very young stage, and sometimes you can induce it to grow into something. Currently, the way it's sort of being used is like with a rotator cuff. If you can give a stem cell a scaffolding to grow on, such as a graft, that stem cell might be able to help reinforce that tendon and the fibers. What it doesn't do is just suddenly regrow something. It doesn't suddenly grow cartilage in the knee. And a lot of people think that that's what it does. But right now they've got what they'll do is they'll take stem cells out of you, and we get it from your bone marrow. We can sort of purify that along with the growth factors that you have and mix that with genuine stem cells from maybe a fetal cord, something that we wouldn't normally use, and purify those cells, amniotic tissue. And those two in combination sort of really are robust in healing things. They have a tremendous anti-inflammatory capability also. And so we're finding that it helps sort of fight infection. It helps repair things under the right conditions. And I think it'll revolutionize the regenerative field and injuries.
Yeah, to your point about injuries, you just say, you know, stem cell treatment, as I was doing some research on your site, can promote quicker restoration of function if there's been an injury. So if this had existed a few years ago, maybe Andy Pettit wouldn't have needed to use HGH to heal quicker, right? This is stuff that, you know, from an athlete perspective, shoulders, rotator cuffs, all that sort of stuff, this stem cell treatment can help get these guys, you know, back on the field quicker, right?
Well, we're hopeful. We actually did one of the Jaguars guys who's not playing anymore, but he's trying to get back in January. He just was really wanted to have a stem cell therapy, and we did it in combination with his bone marrow stem cells. And he says that his knee pain went down dramatically, and he's actually back training now. He's had numerous injections. And I do want to sort of tell your listeners that a lot of people have heard about PRP, the platelet-rich plasma, and that's completely different than stem cells, not as effective, and in some cases not really working very well. So they're two different things, and if you're sort of doing your homework on it, make sure you understand that a stem cell and PRP are two different treatments.
Bob, questions for Dr. Candelara?
Yes, Doc, and on a humorous note, Chris knows I've been shoveling snow for about the past 8 weeks nonstop. So if it's such a pleasure to speak with an orthopedist tonight, and oh my goodness, I'll have to come see you someday. But I think I want to ask a question that a lot of our listeners might want to know, Doc. Kind of elementary, but probably what some people would like to know. As far as joint pain, the difference between when you would use heat versus ice?
You know, that's a good question, asked very often. In general, and it always depends on what kind of injury you have, but in general, early on, use ice. You want to decrease the inflammation. You want to sort of stop any bleeding and stop the swelling. So ice sort of helps that. Now, if you get smashed hard, you have a big hematoma, use ice initially, but then you use moist heat after, say, the first 48, 72 hours, and that heat will actually bring in a new blood supply and take that hematoma or that blood clot out of there. So, but in general, ice is the thing to use.
That's excellent. And I always wanted to get a doctor's opinion on these injuries we see in the NFL, Doc, especially the ACL tears, in all sports, of course. Is there anything, Doc, that athletes can do, and I'm sure they try, to really strengthen that part of their leg, or is this just something that is going to happen if you play long enough?
Well, actually, the hamstrings, everyone thinks it's the quadriceps that you want to strengthen, and you do want to strengthen that, but the hamstrings sort of are help protect the anterior cruciate ligament, the ACL. So someone who has an ACL injury should be working on their hamstrings, and that will be beneficial. You know, a lot of players will use braces, and braces have not really been shown to stop an injury. So if you use a brace, I think it sort of makes you more aware of that knee, and it may help you in that way. But if you're going to get hurt, I think the brace doesn't stop that. I think it's inevitable. So strengthening is the biggest thing for that. And the players just have tremendous muscles, and that's how they protect themselves.
Yeah. Dr. Kindler, when talking about the stem cell piece again, does that treatment have any application for football players that are now dealing with more neurological injuries, the CTEs and that sort of thing?
You know, there's some studies going on out there, and they're actually finding that, you know, there's a protein that you can measure with the concussions, and that's what you're referring to. And they have found incidentally, in other words, they weren't sort of looking for it, but did find it, that people who were being treated with some stem cell therapy were actually lowering that protein that you find in a concussion. And so they think that there may be some application in the future, not really defined right yet. You know, by the same token, stem cells are now being used in pulmonary disease and multiple myeloma. So this is a science that's going to take off and be very significant.
And to that end, you know, some of the other things that people can get benefits from is for those that are dealing with arthritis, right? So like golfers like Phil Mickelson or any of us that are dealing with arthritis could benefit from stem cell treatment as well, right?
That's the hope. That's what they're looking at, and that's what they're trying to figure out, and how to get that to work and work effectively. Yeah, that is the future. That and maybe a genetic engineering of those cells. That's where things are going to go.
We hear so often on this show, as you can imagine, Dr. Candelora, from the NFL players who are just in constant joint pain now. They, you know, the alumni guys are dealing with, you know, pain all over their bodies. We've used the example several times on this show about the story that Eric Dickerson shared with us, that he's dealing with constant shoulder pain, so much so, he's in so much pain that he can't sleep because it hurts to put any weight or pressure on his shoulders. What kind of treatment can help those, you know, guys like Eric kind of get, you know, get back to being able just to sleep, you know, well?
You know, that is a phenomenal question, and it just depends on what his what the core problem is. And when I see these guys, you know, they'll come in for maybe a knee, but you talk to them and it turns into a wrist, it turns into an elbow, it turns into a shoulder. Shoulders are huge. Shoulders and knees, and you know, you start on one project and it turns into a huge ordeal. And these guys tend to have a degenerative arthritis, and there's you know, the anti-inflammatory medicines out there, but I'm sure he's had that. I'm sure he's undergone the injections and the cortisones. You know, we have gel injections out now, which may be beneficial. There's some, you know, patch therapy out there now, where they can put medications in a patch and have it slowly infuse over time. Sometimes that's effective. So it really depends on what the root of the problem is. We do have a lot of things, but in the end, if you've got no cartilage on that joint, somehow, some way, it's got to be replaced.
Right. And you mentioned gel injection. What's a gel injection?
Well, you know, they've got this stuff out. Probably the listeners probably know Hyalgan. That was a very well advertised gel injection. And what it is it actually comes from the combs of the rooster. They actually purify the combs of the rooster, and they can get a hyaluronic acid. And that acid is actually found in your knee joint, part of the cartilage. And so what they do is they concentrate it down. It looks like a sort of a little jello shot almost. You shoot it into the knee, and it coats the knee, coats the cartilage, and it's supposed to sort of lubricate it and give some shock absorption to it. And it's felt that maybe it makes some of those cartilage cells produce some fluids and help out in the same process. So if you're not too far gone, that gel injection may be helpful. If you're very far gone, then it probably is not going to be too helpful. Usually given in the knee, but I've seen it work in a hip, and also seen it work in shoulders fairly well.
Bob, more for Dr. Candelora.
And Doc, I'm totally amazed when I hear about the so many hip and knee replacements, you know, over the last few years. And this is not from older people; it's from people my age and younger, and the success rates are incredible, and I'm sure it has to do with the great technology out there. But from a surgeon's standpoint and orthopedically, is it as tough a surgery as it is on the people that it's being done on?
You know, we've improved dramatically on biomaterials and the metals we use. You know, there was a point in time when we had to worry about maybe that hip, that metal hip actually breaking, and that doesn't happen anymore for the most part. So we've got great metals now. We've got much better biomechanics. These joints fit a lot better. So for the doctor, it's a little bit of an easier surgery, I think. I think the tools that we've developed are better. We've got, like I said, this navigation. We've got computers. And for the patient, we can make smaller incisions. We've got things that can help out in decreasing infection. We've got better rehab. Rehab is key. You know, I would look horrible if it wasn't for rehab. Rehab makes me look good. So that's just a huge key, and rehab has come so far. And you know, with your football players, you know, and we just heard the comments about working out and how you're going to get back to working out someday, so why not just go at it now? So rehab is so important on this, and we've improved that dramatically too. So the patient has to understand that they need to want it. They need to want to work out afterwards and get better. And if you've got a good team, you've got a good doctor who's there for you, you've got the rehab, you've got a patient who wants to do it, I think it's relatively easy in the long run.
And as far as arthritis, Doc, people for an inflammatory disease, most doctors recommend regular exercise. How do those two relate?
Well, you know, exercise is great. When you have osteoarthritis, exercise is a key. But, you know, the guys with arthritis, they wake up stiff in the morning. And so they get moving and they start feeling better. And the reason is because the joints lubricate themselves. All night you've been sleeping, you haven't moved. And the way that the joint eats is it uses the fluid in the knee to nourish itself. So no fluid, no nourishment, and you get stiff. So exercise sort of encourages that. In a rheumatoid patient, which you don't usually see in these football players, but that's a little bit of a different problem. Sometimes we'll do the exact opposite and sort of immobilize them. But I think it's very important for these guys to stay active. And the football players that I see that are active, they're having less of a problem. The guys are really fairly immobile.
Dr. Candelaro, you've worked with one of our guests, former Eagles wide receiver Vince Papale. How are you able to help Vince improve the quality of his life?
Man, you know, Vince made me look phenomenal. Vince Papale is about 30 years old. You know, he did a total knee in June. And, in fact, I remember the date. It was June 26th. He had a total knee June 26th. He had a horrific knee. And he said to me that, he said, listen, I need to be up to back into Philadelphia July 3rd. I want to be down the shore for July 4th. I've got a meeting I've got to be to and a talk I'm giving on July 8th. I said, you know, Vince, you got to be realistic about this. You just sort of, you know, I'm not so sure that's going to happen. Well, Vince was packed and ready to go, bags in hand, on the morning of July 3rd. I went over to the hospital, and he said, can you drive me to the airport? And he was like rehab on steroids. He did his total knee. He got home on July 3rd. He was barely on a cane. July 8th, he was at his lecture. Sent me a picture. He was in a tux giving his talk.
Wow.
He was just absolutely amazing. There was a guy who had a horrific problem, and he just didn't want to be down, wanted to get going, and he just manhandled the whole thing. Just really did an incredible job. I have never seen anybody like it. As a matter of fact, when he left, I got a call from the physical therapy team, and they were petrified. And they said, what total joint have you put in this guy? Because we're going to lose our job. And I asked them what they were talking about. And they said, this guy, he's climbing literally five stories. He was going up and down the stairs in the hospital. I came in on post-op day three, and he was climbing up and down five stories because they had
wow.
run out of equipment. He was abusing their equipment. really, he was an amazing patient. He's an amazing athlete, even to this day. So, you know, he makes Philadelphia look great. He made me look good.
That's great. Dr. Candler, not only are you one of our sponsors, but you're also a sponsor with our friends over at the Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund. Talk about what you're doing with the wonderful people over there.
You know, I couldn't be more excited to work with a group than that group. They are really phenomenal. Shannon Jordan over there, who sort of helps direct a lot of the patients. She really has a personal interest in that group and in those patients. I've had the pleasure and the honor to work with Houston Oilers, Cowboys, Pittsburgh Steelers, Philadelphia Eagles. She has just been incredible getting them to us. These guys are just so grateful, and it's sad to see the people who made the game, the people who gave us what we have today, you know, have these medical problems and maybe not even have the resources to take care of themselves. So, you know, Mike Dicka has just put his entire heart into this, and there is no one like that man. He has done so much for NFL alumni, for the medical care of these guys, and he just puts his reputation on the line every day. And it's just, I'm so proud to be able to work with these guys and help out. And whatever they need, I'm happy to be there for them. That's how important I think this group is.
That's fantastic. Dr. Candelaria, how can our listeners reach you and your staff for more information about everything that you've talked about tonight, from the joints and the procedures and all of those sorts of things? How can they get more information if they're interested?
We've got a website. You can either Google my name, Peter Candelaria, or you just go to bone-drdoctor.com, and you can call our office, too, at 727-848-1417. Happy to talk to you. Got questions, issues. You guys have been great, and we appreciate it. We're happy to help you guys out. We're happy to help Gridiron Greats, Wounded Warriors, all phenomenal groups and people. Thank you very much,
That's
Chris.
Fantastic stuff. All right, Dr. Candelaria, thank you so much for being a part of the show tonight and sharing all this wonderful information. We can't thank you enough for being such a wonderful sponsor of the show, plus all the great stuff that you're doing for the alumni players. You guys are fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank guys. You guys keep it up. We appreciate it. We like listening to it.
Thank you, Doc.
All right, great. Take care, Dr. Candelaria. We hope to catch up with you again real soon. All the best to you and everybody over at Coastal Orthopedics.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Take care.
Great stuff, Bob. And I tell you what, you know, this stem cell treatment is just something that absolutely fascinates me. And, you know, doing the research online a little bit, not only on the Coastal Orthopedic site, but just sort of in general. You know, we have suffered through, you know, so many years. Those of us who are baseball fans suffered through the steroid years. But as I, you know, kind of, you know, jokingly alluded to, you know, with the Andy Pettit thing, with the HGH, you know, this stuff, this stem cell treatment and the things that these guys are coming up, computerized joints now, holy cow. I mean, talk about the great things that are going to happen. You got to wonder where medicine is going. And, you know, we're not going to need the steroids and the HGH stuff. You know, athletes aren't, because they're going to have, access to stuff like, you know, this stem cell treatment, these computerized joint things. Holy cow, where are we headed?
It's true, Chris. He provided some incredible information that, you know, there's so many questions out there about orthopedic stuff these days. And, man, they should have my poster in his office, Chris, as a poster boy for somebody. And I've broken every bone in my body, and I could write a book just on that. But, yeah, he is up on the latest stuff, and I would recommend him to anyone out there who's suffering from joint pain. We don't just advertise him because he's a sponsor. The guy knows his stuff, obviously, as you just heard.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. And, you know, they're great folks, first of all, so they're going to take, you know, good care of you. But, you know, all the wonderful things that they're able to do and the great stuff that he has done with, like I say, some of the alumni players, it's just been phenomenal. So, you know, like I say, you know, on social media all the time, if you're dealing with joint pain, stop dealing with joint pain and get some information from these guys, because they're going to help to get you back to enjoying life here really quickly. All right. Before we get to our next guest, Don Nottingham, I want to give a shout out to our good friend Renee Scholl at Integrated Play. If you're either in job transition, or you want to be in job transition, go to integratedplay.org online and see what Renee can do to help you. We all want to do business and take advice from someone that we can trust and who has actually our best interests at heart and not their own. Well, you're not going to find someone who fits that description better than Renee Scholl at Integrated Play. She's smart, she's talented, and the kind of person you want to work with and have working for you. She's doing some great things, way above and beyond things for some of our guests who have been in transition from being pro athletes and are now getting into the job market. I'm telling you, folks, I say it every single week on this show, Renee is the best. There just isn't another way to describe her. If you work with her for just 2 minutes, you're going to understand why we say that every single week here on Thursday Night Tailgate. If you're an athlete or anyone in the job market, do yourself a favor and reach out to Renee. You're going to be very glad you did. Go to integratedplay.org online and give her a follow on Twitter, @integratedplay. All right, now back with us on the Kyven Foods guest line is Don Nottingham. Let me remind you quickly about Don's career. He was a 17th round draft pick by the Baltimore Colts in 1971 out of Kent State, where he was an All-Mid-American Conference selection in back-to-back years of 1969 and 70. He played from 1971 to 1978 for the Colts and the Dolphins, was traded from the Colts to the Dolphins midway through the 1973 season, so he became a part of the Dolphins' Super Bowl VIII championship team. Over the course of his career, he had 611 carries for nearly 2,500 yards and 34 touchdowns, added 67 receptions for a little over 500 yards. And from 1974 to 1977, he was among the top 10 running backs in scoring touchdowns. And we are excited to have him back with us tonight on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Don, how have you been, my friend?
Real fine. Just trying to put one foot in front of the other and making every day a happy day.
Good for you. So, Don,
anyhow, we're setting up. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Good. Okay. Well, I got a little bit wound up today with one of my charities that I was working with. I got home a little later than I wanted to, but that's okay. You try to do a little bit every day, and as long as you feel like you're making progress and providing opportunities for, especially for the young kids, that's kind of my sweet spot.
There you go. So, Don, I'm curious. We've had you on the show a couple of times in the past. I know you were born in Wyden, West Virginia, which is pretty much the center part of the state of West Virginia. Who'd you grow up rooting for?
Well, I grew up in Ohio. We were 4 years old when I moved to Ohio, so I grew up rooting for the Cleveland Browns, basically, as far as the pro team. And, of course, if you're in Ohio, you have to watch Ohio State. And I lived most of my teen years, I lived real close to Kent State University, so I can still remember going over there on Saturdays, and they always let all the local guys in free to watch the games, and it's probably the best recruiting tool that a guy named Leo Strang could ever come up with. He had my heart. He was a power football player or football coach, and ran an unbalanced line, and they tried to move people off the ball, and that's what I kind of fell in love with.
Your rookie year with the Colts was 1971, and you guys split that season against the Dolphins during the regular season. You ended up losing to those guys in the AFC Championship game. 72, you obviously lost to those guys twice. That was the Dolphins' undefeated season. So when the trade came up to send you from the Colts to the Dolphins, when you found out, were you glad to be on the other side of that rivalry?
No, sir. I was one disappointed puppy at that point in my life. We had played the New Orleans Saints Sunday, and I had probably the best day blocking I've ever had in my entire life. And Don McCauley had about 117 yards, and Lydell Mitchell wound up about 110 or 112 yards. That's 200-yard backs and one backfield, and it was behind and we ran the same couple plays both ways, and New Orleans linebackers never figured it out. So I was just doing what Jim Mandich used to call it, kicking butt and taking names. And so I come in on Monday to training camp, and I get called into the office, and Howard Snellenberger told me, we've just traded you to Miami specifically to back up Larry Zonka. Well, damn. You know, where I grew up, Larry's like 4 years older than me, and in Northeast Ohio, he was the mark that we tried to reach for. He was that good of a fullback, and so I got traded from a starting position in Baltimore because a guy there named Joe Thomas said I was too little to be a fullback in the NFL. So he first chance he got, he traded me off to Miami, and so I figured. And I was feeling sorry for myself for a couple of days, actually. You have no choice. You take the trade and go to Miami, which is a wonderful football team and a super coach.
Coop, and I mean all of them. But you know, when I want to be on the field on something besides kickoffs and kickoff returns. And so in Miami, instance, I was perfect. I mean, you got a guy like Larry that never got hurt, never missed a game, and you know, so I'm there. I can cover kickoffs, kickoff returns, punts, punt returns, PATs. I'm there. That's what I'm good at, and that's actually how I probably made the Baltimore Colts my first year, was by being willing and actually made it into my job to make people worry about me on special teams. And that's probably, if I've got a legacy, it was I was there. I could run behind a great offensive line. And you know, it's kind of obvious the way my career works. Coach Shula is probably the best guy that I could have ever hooked up with as far as being a player, because he finds a way to get everybody involved in the game if it can help the team. I was good. I was a good lead blocker, so I got put in the game a lot with on what we used to call it short yardage and goal line. I guess they call it the red zone now, but. If I got put in the game, it was about the 1 yard line, maybe the 3 yard line. So as a result of that, just by running plays to break the keys, in other words, giving me the ball once in a while, not having me always lead the play, got me a lot of touchdowns. So it's kind of funny when I think about it. With my position on the team, for me to have over 30 touchdowns in my career was pretty amazing. I think the longest one was about a yard and a half. that's kind of the way it goes. But, Miami had just a fantastic offensive line. Those guys were awesome. And we used to run plays called whams, basically. Offensive linemen just stand up with the big guys, and the fullback comes around the corner and takes on the linebacker. That's usually supposed to fill the hole, and I was pretty good at that. But what makes that work from my standpoint is you get a guy like Larry Little or Bob Kuchenberg, they line up on a guy, when they post him up and I'm coming around that corner, it might as well be the biggest building you could ever have, and that corner is not going to move. So I can come with my shoulder tucked in, and with my low center of gravity, nobody could really stop me from cleaning the hole out. That was fun. That was fun. Was there.
Don?
Great way to make a living.
Yeah.
It sure was. And I want to take it back to that rookie year again, Don. And, you show up in Maryland that year, and you play with one of the great legends that will ever step on a gridiron, John Unitas. And he was on his way out at the time, Don, in his late 30s and everything. But did you still get a hint of what made that guy one of the greats of all time?
I when I look back on it, Chris, and when I got to camp, we had 6 weeks of two-a-days. And Johnny Unitas was rehabbing a torn Achilles tendon. So he was back there working with us guys, us rookies, second and third team players. And when you get into a huddle with John Unitas and you're a 22-year-old kid and you've watched Unitas, ever since you knew what a pro football game was about, and he gets in the huddle, and when he calls the play, you just knew it was going to work. And he also had the tendency to, if you were having a trouble with a ride series or a pitch series, he would make sure you got reps for that whenever he could make that happen. He was worried about the team. He was not worried about Unitas. And that kind of selflessness is hard to come by. But I think I actually, one of the big reasons that I probably did stay on, besides the being good and committing myself to special teams, was I got to have the influence of a guy like that telling me what to do every day. And it was awesome.
Wow. I can only imagine. And Don, I mean, I think you probably already answered this question, but and you've probably been asked it a million times. You scored 34 touchdowns in your career, but you were one of those trenches guys that were always, throwing the great blocks to spring guys. Did you get just as much satisfaction throwing a great block as you did crossing the goal line?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, when I look back on my whole time I played football, one of the best feelings you can ever have is cleaning out the corner and watching your halfbacks go across the goal line. I guess I tried to be a dominant blocker. I didn't fall off anybody and lay down on them and throw my body. I was going to run through you. So, and my guys all pretty much knew if you watch my rear end with my rear end moves, you cut off my rear end and nobody's going to get you from that side anymore. And, I have to admit that there was more times than I'd like to remember that I didn't get that good a result. There's some awful good linebackers in the NFL.
Yeah.
Two times they got me.
Don, before we let you go, as you mentioned when you joined us, you're doing some charity work. I know you guys do a lot of charity work, you know, with the chapter of the NFL Alumni Association that you're with, plus on your own. Talk about those.
Well, we're doing here in Marion County, which Ocala is 375 miles north of Miami, about 80 miles north of Tampa, and also Orlando. So it's not a really big metropolis, and so everything's a lot smaller and to scale. I started last year working with the Special Olympics. And we run a golf tournament, and then I decided that if I wanted to make enough money that we could really, you know, buy the uniforms that these kids need when they go around to these different state meets and really have the ability to sustain the program, had to come up with a way to make more money. So I threw it out one day at the one of our NFLPA meetings, and the guys all said, well, how about if I invited you guys all to come up on a Friday night and just we'll have a get together reception with some food and some drinks and you can just tell stories. And everybody said, oh yeah, I'll come to that for Special Olympics. We'll come up to that. So I had like 14 guys that showed up on a Friday night, and we call those things Champions for Champions. And so this year in September, we'll be doing our second one. And all the mistakes I made last year, I think I can fix this year. I got a little greedy last year and tried to do too much, and I didn't get the result that I wanted. So I promised everybody that came down and spent their money and wrote a check for the Special Olympics that next year I'd make it better. And we're already working in that direction. And now I got and I'm starting to run into old hockey players and some old baseball players I know, and so I'm going to get those guys to come up too. When you get the guys from different sports in the same room, there's just a natural little rivalry that happens. So I think it'll get interesting. And, it's just all good-natured and fun. But the stories that we've been through and these guys can talk about right from their heart are so amazing that I think it's something people are willing to pay money and come and have a nice dinner and some food and hear some great stories that are that are actually truth. And sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction.
I bet that's true.
So,
Don, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to be a part of the show. You're fantastic.
No problem. Thank you, and thank you for all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Don. We hope to catch up with you again real soon. We appreciate your time.
Not a problem. You guys have a great night.
Take care.
All right, you too, Don. I'll see you and your family.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Great stuff. You know, I tell you, Bob, you know, when you think about the heyday of the Colts and the Dolphins, Don sells himself short by saying he's the longest touchdown, a yard and a half. But from 74 to 76, we had great seasons. And one of the things that I marvel at is his first 100-yard game in the NFL came midway through the 74 season against the Colts.
Yeah, isn't that something, Chris? But he's the kind of guy back in the day, and obviously his nickname, the human bowling ball, bounce
right
off guys, block for guys, but always played kind of in the shadows of others, but as you said, had some very impressive seasons yardage wise. So this was a guy that could run the ball, probably didn't want to be known as just a fullback, but a very talented player who played with some great legends, and it's always a pleasure to speak with Mr. Nottingham.
Absolutely right. All right, we've got our next guest already hanging on the line with us. Now back on the Kyven Foods guest line is Reggie Barlow. Let me remind you about Reggie's background. He was born in Montgomery, Alabama, graduated from Alabama State University, and was a fourth-round draft pick by the Jacksonville Jaguars in 1996. Played wide receiver and kick returner in the NFL from 96 to 2003 with the Jaguars, Raiders, and Bucks. Tallied over 4,000 all-purpose yards and was a member of the Bucks' 2002 Super Bowl championship team. He went back to coach at his alma mater, Alabama State, from 2005 to 2014 and was their head coach starting in 2007. His run as head coach ended in a bizarre and ridiculous fashion after last season, which we'll talk about here in a moment. But he finished with this as the second most winningest head coach, or second most victories as a head coach in Alabama State history, and quite frankly, earned a better outcome. But we are excited to have him back with us tonight on Thursday Night Tailgate. Good evening, Reggie. Chris and Bob here. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on, and looking forward to spending a little time with you guys.
Thanks, Reggie.
So Reggie, let's kind of get right into this thing. For those who aren't familiar with how things ended between you and Alabama State as the head coach after last season, and let me kind of set this thing up as best as I can. You guys finished 7-6 last season. You were given a contract extension and a raise. You actually started to get paid that raise, and then they turned around and fired you in favor of former Bethune-Cookman head coach Brian Jenkins, who had a very successful run at Bethune-Cookman, but now there's all kinds of allegations coming out against him for things that he is, you know, alleged to have done, like mistreatment of players, rules violations, improper benefits to players, improper housing arrangements, violating the weekly practice limits, failure to pay three of his assistant coaches, and bullying staff members and players, accompanied by retaliation against any of those who, you know, kind of spoke up. So, and kind of what makes it all, you know, potentially way worse to me, Reggie, and again, these are allegations that are under investigation by the NCAA. All those allegations were made by over a dozen former players and four coaches, so you'd have to think there's some validity to this stuff. And, you know, according to a story by Josh Moon and the Montgomery Advisor, Alabama State interim athletic director Melvin Hines knew all this stuff and not only hired him anyway, but he also informed the Board of Trustees about these issues. You said he informed the Board of Trustees about these issues, but the board is saying, no, you didn't. So, Reggie, what the heck is going on here?
Well, yeah, we have some stuff going over here at my school. We finished our season. We actually were 7-5 last year. All the things that you said. I had been at Alabama State. You know, I had never received a raise here at the university, and I was the lowest paid coach in the conference. But I had we had the most wins out of any of the coaches in the conference. And you know, right when the school, the president, and the interim athletic director, they offered me a contract, we signed it in September the 9th. And, of course, we hit a slit there, a slide where we lost some games. We lost about four games in a row, which put us at 4-4 at that point in the season. And for whatever reason, AD called me in and, you know, he asked me to resign, you know, and I'm like, well, first of all, I just signed a new contract. You know, I can't see why, you know, I would be asked to be, you know, resign or whatever, because at the time we were 4-4, still with three games left. And of course we won those last three to finish up 7-5 or whatever. But, I mean, it was just not a good situation. I never would imagine in 100 years, you know, this is my school. This is the school that I went to, the school that I've really invested a lot in this city and this community and at the university. But they wanted to go in another direction, never gave me a reason why. They just said that, you know, they wanted to go in a different direction. So, you know, unfortunately, you put yourself in a legal situation because I signed a contract. I mean, there was a huge article here in our local paper here that talked about what a great job I had been doing, and the program was right where it needed to be. And that those were all quotes by our interim AD. And then I guess a month later is when they come and ask me to resign. So, I mean, just really not good business. It's so unfortunate that we would have to even be going through this, talking about this. But, you know, this is where we find ourselves at right now. And, you know, hopefully we can get something worked out where we won't have to be in battle in court against each other.
Yeah, I mean, none of this makes sense to me, you know, at all, Reggie. And Bob, you know, I want you to jump in here and ask Reggie some questions, because, you know, Bob wrote about it in his column, you know, kind of shaking our heads when this whole thing came out. But Bob, why don't you jump in here and talk to Reggie about it?
Well, Reggie, the first thing, and Chris and I have had you on this show. You've been so great on the TV show up here. And you're such a well-rounded individual. And when I first heard of this, I said, you know, here it is. This is what the NCAA is kind of all about. It's a perfect situation where a guy loses a couple of games in a row, and all of a sudden they're looking. It's all about wins. And I know you. The way you run a program is it's molding of men both on and off the field. Do you think that has something to do with it, Reggie? It's kind of the university looking at just wins and not what a college coach should do.
Well, you know what? If it was about wins, I mean, we were doing that. The thing, Chris, is we've had. Bob, we've had. This was our fifth straight winning season, which had never happened in the history of the school. You mentioned the things about me being the second winningest coach in the history of the university. So winning was what we were doing. Alabama State had more wins than any other school in the conference over the last 5 years. So it wasn't about wins. It was, you know, I think there were a couple board members that felt like they wanted one. I mean, one in particular, I know he's always kind of admired Coach Jenkins from Bethune. And I just think, you know, there was an opportunity for them to get him. And, you know, they just, moved on me and wanted to get me out. But it's the part that's really frustrating and disappointing to me is this. You know, we know as coaches, you know, if you don't win, I mean, you may lose your job and all that stuff. That happens in football. But the disappointing part for me is I signed the contract. The president signed the contract. The interim AD signed the contract. The human resource department at our university called me over to sign the contract. I have copies of it. It was in the newspaper. But then they're trying to say it's not a contract because our board hadn't approved it prior to everybody signing off on it. So they're finagling their way, or trying to finagle their way out of honoring it, you know. And that's the part that hurts me, because I know what I've been to ASU. You know, I've done a whole bunch, not just coaching there and raising young men there, but I've given back financially as well, because that's the school I graduated from. And I just never would have thought that I would be in a situation where I'd be forced out and after signing a contract. So that's pretty unfortunate, and, you know, very disappointed by it.
Yeah, it's one of the most bizarre things I've ever, you know, signed contract and then just a short time later for something like that to happen. But no matter what happens, Reggie, let's hope that you guys can work something out. You won't have to drag it through the courts. And I know that wherever you end up, you're going to land on your feet and not change your philosophy. And maybe for our listeners out there, maybe tell them what your coaching philosophy is, Reggie. What would you talk to a young recruit? Tell them why that recruit should play for you wherever you end up.
Well, it's the four characteristics that I just believe, not just on the football field, but in life, that you have to stand for. None of us can determine when we're going to be born, nor can we determine when we're going to die. we can't control that, but what we can control is the time in between. And whether it's for 100 years, Chris, or you live for 50 years, Bob, it's never long enough. And I like to refer to that time as the DASH. The acronym, the DASH, the discipline, the attitude, the sacrifices that you're willing to make, and the habits that you, of course, partake in on a daily basis. Those are the things that's going to allow you to be successful, not just in the classroom, on the football field, but in life. We all got to have discipline. We all got to have a conquering attitude, attitude that regardless of what type of sacrifice, I mean, whatever, what regardless of what's thrown your way in life, you got to be able to figure out a way to get past it, you know, an overcoming attitude. And then the S, of course, is for sacrifice. You know, a lot of times this is a me nation. We have a tendency to think it's about us, and it's not. It's about the team. It's about the community. It's about the people who you care about the most. So at some point, we all got to sacrifice and do things to help others. And then our habits. We all say we want to be great athletes. We want to be great sports announcers. We want to be great this. But what do your habits say? Are you practicing and carrying yourself and doing those habits to show that you want to be the best player? So those are the four characteristics that I like to tell guys that I recruit, the parents, the high school coaches, that that's what we're going to build our program on. And, of course, there's a lot of other things that we'll throw at them while they're in the program. But that's what I believe in, and that's my fiber.
Reggie, let's talk about a story that started out bad but has turned into a good one, and that's a guy who played for you and is now with the Cleveland Browns, Isaiah Crowell. Talk about his story and how things turned around for him after he got dismissed from Georgia but then came over to play for you at Alabama State.
You know, I'm really proud of Isaiah. The 8 years that we were at ASU, we had tons of Division One guys from the FBS schools transfer to us, and our goal was to change the credibility story that was out on them, to allow them to build their credibility up, to give them an opportunity to get an education, and then, of course, to give them an opportunity to go and play on the next level. And Isaiah came in, he bought into the team concept. Obviously, I mean, that, he wasn't an angel. Obviously, there are things that, you know, we had to correct and all that stuff, and he did well. And bought into the team concept, and the Cleveland Browns, they did their homework on. I think out of all the teams that we talked to after our season, that was the one team, Ray Farmer and, you know, the program up there, that was the one team that stayed the most contact, asked the most questions, wanted to know just about every detail. And Isaiah went up there, and, you know, he's where he wanted to be. You know, the kid, obviously, you know, he just – school and all that stuff, you know how it is. Some, you know, it's okay, I'm gonna go to school so I can play football. But he's where he wants to be. He had a solid rookie season, and did some positive things for the Cleveland Browns. And I just believe he'll continue to do that. And think he's matured a lot. I've read what he's doing, some things over in his hometown, reading the kids and speaking to kids. So I'm really proud of him. And you know, those are good stories. You know, a guy makes a huge mistake. He's 18, 19 years old. You bring him into your program, giving him another opportunity, and he takes full advantage of it. So kudos to him, and, you know, hopefully he'll continue to do a good job over there.
Absolutely right. That is a fantastic story. Reggie, as somebody who follows you on Facebook, you're an amazing fisherman. Ever consider the Bassmasters Tour? Because, holy cow, looking at you and the stuff that you're reeling in almost on a daily basis is outstanding.
That would be such a dream of mine. You know, the thing that's really funny is I spent most of my NFL career in great cities, great states, you know, Jacksonville, you know, great water lakes, and Tampa the same way. And then I didn't fish during. I wasn't a fisherman. And, you know, and then I, you know, stopped playing ball and moved back home. My house, it has a 10-acre pond out there. So I figured, I'll learn how to fish. And I just cannot get enough of it. And I've been blessed to catch some big, big fish back there in that pond. And it's really fun. So being on the Bass Pro Tour, that would be something really fun for me, man. I would enjoy that.
Is that something you've ever looked into? Because, I mean, like I say, crying out loud, you're awesome at this.
I'm sure You know, the thing is, now you might see a couple pictures I post, but you got to know now, there's a lot of times I've gone out there and ain't caught anything. So, but just if I had a job, it would be very similar to, you know, being able to play in the NFL or coaching. That would be one of the best jobs in the world where you don't have to, you know, you're doing something that you extremely love. So even if I didn't catch a bunch of fish, I would thoroughly enjoy it. But those guys are great. They're talented at what they do, and you know, maybe down the line, maybe we can see how we can find a way to get on the amateur tour or something here in Alabama.
There you go, Reggie. Before we let you go, any bites on the coaching side? Might we see you patrolling the sidelines somewhere next season?
Well, I'm a coach. I thoroughly enjoy coaching and being on the sidelines. I think you know, I've interviewed for a position or two here. I hadn't gotten anything, but I'm still open and looking. And obviously, you know, you want to get yourself in the right situation and somewhere where you can still, well, somewhere I can still grow as a coach and be around some winners and some people that's going to do it the right way and not find myself in a situation like I just left out of. So I'm looking forward to it. I believe God will place me where he wants me to be and where I can be a beacon of light and be able to lead men and help men, young men, to grow into grown men. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's fantastic. Reggie, how can our listeners follow you over social media?
Well, I'm a, you know, social media, Facebook, it's Reggie Barlow. I'm on Instagram, it's Ridgecrest Reggie. That's my neighborhood, which, you know, guys tease me about that, but it's at Ridgecrest Reggie. The Twitter is at Reggie Barlow, which I don't, you know, I don't go on that a whole bunch, but I am on that. But Facebook is a community on social media that I probably spend most time on. So friend me up. I love to intertwine and meet different people and, you know, make new friends.
That's great stuff. Reggie, you are a beacon of light, and we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to be a part of the show again. We hope you'll come back real soon. Hopefully it's as a coach somewhere else or on the amateur Bassmasters Tour. Either which way, we'd love to have you come back again real soon.
Bob, Chris, man, it's been fun. I appreciate you guys, and I look forward to doing it again.
All right, Reggie, take care. All the best to you and your family, my friend.
Thank you,
yes, sir.
Reggie.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Great stuff, Bob. And like I said at the top of the show, you know, credit to you for putting this story in your column, because what happened at Alabama State absolutely is crazy to me, and I don't understand what the heck they are thinking, particularly even going, you know, with the coach that they went with all the allegations that are out there. Just absolutely makes no sense.
Yeah, as soon as I read about it, Chris, you know, him being a friend of our show and a friend in general, I said to myself, something's not right here, because there is not a more class act out there than Reggie Barlow, or a guy you'd want coaching your team at that level. So something is not right. It might have been someone on the board, Chris, that got rubbed the wrong way. We will never get the story here, but it's a disgrace. And this guy, he's a terrific football coach. He'll land on his feet somewhere. I'm just waiting to hear, you know, when it happens. And it probably would be best if Reggie moves on and brings his talents somewhere else where he's totally appreciated and will be for a long time.
Absolutely right. All right, my friend, it's time for us to put a bow on this one. Great job, Bob, out of you, as always. Always a privilege. Talk about all the privileges we have on this show with the great guests that we have the opportunity to talk with. No greater privilege than for me to spend a couple hours a week doing this show with you. So thank you very much.
Ditto.
All right, next week, who are we going to have with us? Well, former Steelers wide receiver Dwight Stone is going to be making his Thursday night tailgate debut with us. Our good friend and former Saints and 49ers defensive back Toy Cook will be back here with us. And speaking of Steelers, our good friend legendary linebacker Andy Russell going to be back with us. So great that every time we get to have the opportunity to talk to Andy, so look forward to that. And speaking of great friends, former Rams and Saints quarterback Jim Everett is going to be with us. So be forewarned, he's going to be on the show next week. So hide the women and children. And Topps marketing manager Leanne Minutoli is going to join us. We'll talk some Topps cards. Always fun to have someone from Topps on the show. plus our regular 12th Man segment with David Meltzer as well. So it's going to be another great show. We hope you'll come back and join us as well. I want to remind you how you can follow us on Twitter. You can find me at CT Mascaro. Bob is at Bob_Lazzeri, and the show is at TNT Podcast. Plus, check out our page on Facebook. Give us a like. That's important to us, too. And you can stay up to date with who our future guests are going to be. You can stream or download any of our archive episodes by checking out our website, ThursdayNightTailgate.com. Bob, take us home.
Chris, it's an honor to work with you, and hopefully the next time we speak, it'll be above freezing up here. So pray for that, my friend, okay?
Absolutely.
And, of course, our thanks go out to our announcer, Joe LaGianusa, for the tremendous job he does with our weekly intro and ads, and to Kyle Turley, Tim Pickett, and all our friends over at Gridiron Records for their partnership and our upcoming outro music. On behalf of myself and Chris, we thank everyone out there for listening. We appreciate you the most. Until next week, good night, Kevin. Keep fighting.
Coming down the mountain, I take a breath of sin. Can't tell the day or time, but I know this day will end. On a mission, I